You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Commentator Gary Joyner is with us for another installment of History Matters. Today, he remembers the sesquicentennial of a Civil War battle.
April 6th and 7th, 1862, 150 years ago this week, saw the course of the Civil War change. It was not the first time, and it certainly would not be the last, but America would never be the same. At the beginning of the war, everyone, North and South, believed that one great battle would decide the fate of the Union. Tens of thousands of men only signed up for 90 days duty due to this belief. The first major battle, First Bull Run or First Manassas, depending on which side you followed, was a Confederate victory, but it was not followed up by the capturing of Washington City, as it was then called. Both sides settled down and built armies and prepared for the major engagement which was sure to come. The South believed that its logical northern boundary should be the Ohio River, but the state of Kentucky wanted to remain neutral, hoping to ride out the war and trade with both sides. The myth of Kentucky neutrality was burst when Confederate General Leonidas Polk invaded the Bluegrass State and drove to its northwestern area. He fortified the Great Bluffs at Columbus, south of the Union Naval Base at Cairo, Illinois, and across the river from Belmont, Missouri. Union forces then swept into Kentucky to, as they said, protect it. Polk's rash act, although tactically sound, was perhaps the greatest Confederate blunder of the war. Polk was replaced by the man considered at that time to be the greatest Confederate general of the war, not Robert E. Lee, but Albert Sidney Johnston. Johnston set up his headquarters at Bowling Green, Kentucky, but was forced to move his entire command south through Tennessee to Corinth, Mississippi. To guard the major rivers that flowed through Tennessee, the Cumberland and Tennessee rivers, the Confederates built Forts Henry and Donelson, where the two streams were only a dozen miles apart near the northern edge of the state. A new Union commander, Ulysses S. Grant, with the help of a newly created Union Navy that operated on the rivers of the Mississippi River Valley, took the forts. He pushed south, but up the Tennessee River, where his most trusted lieutenant, General William T. Sherman, encamped his force at a place called Pittsburg Landing, near a small, unassuming church named Shiloh. In the Bible, it meant place of peace. It was not to be so that spring. Albert Sidney Johnston and his second-in-command, Louisiana-born General P.G.T. Beauregard, brought 40,000 men to drive the Yankees into the river or to destroy them. It almost worked. Before dawn on April 6th, the Confederates slammed into the Union Army of the Tennessee and drove them relentlessly back toward the landing. All morning and into the afternoon, confusion reigned, and losses on both sides mounted quickly, but the Southerners were carrying the day. At 2:30 that afternoon, Johnston received a wound in his leg that should not have been fatal, but was. Beauregard then led the rebels. The Confederates did not drive the Union force into the river that afternoon. Sherman and Grant conferred that night, and Sherman famously said to his commander, "Grant, we had the devil's own day." Grant's response would mark his future career. "Yeah, but lick 'em tomorrow." Reinforcements arrived, and the next day the Federals drove Beauregard back, eventually to Corinth. Of 103,000 men engaged on both sides, 23,741 died, 13,000 Union and 10,000 Confederates. It was, up to that time, the deadliest battle in the history of North America. Larger battles with more deaths would follow, but no one believed the war would be easy and short. The horror of Shiloh taught everyone that history matters.